America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to yet another exciting episode of Let's Weekend, the show where there is barely any script and I just make shit up on the fly. I am, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Felipe Adinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Deloge, and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, folks.
Yo.
Yo.
Hey.
Yeah. Our fifth member, Skype, will
yes.
blot out every fourth word every now and then.
Yes, you need to worry about that, too.
It's just a new ad-lib.
Yep.
Make Brandon as racist Skype. As possible.
Yeah. Skype. Skype has to Skype the bed every so often.
Yeah. Well, so far, so good. So.
Yeah. Anyway, so... as usual, some shit went down this week. We got some political stuff. The fallout from the Weinstein scandal is still ongoing. One of our favorite people in the world is getting involved in one of our favorite fantasy book series for Showtime. We also got some movie news. Apparently, somebody in Europe is opening a restaurant underwater. And, Kid Rock isn't actually running for Senate.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and somebody is taking a shit in Illinois and putting them in washing machines. We'll explain that one when we get to it. But, anyway, so... Also, just so everybody knows, we are now officially over 100 subscribers.
Yay!
So, yeah, our, the last time we checked, like last week, it was like around in the 70s.
Yep.
And now it's gone over 100. So, those of you out there who are listening,
thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Yep.
Thank you to all the Nazi haters there that are joining us.
Yes. Apparently there is one thing that can unite humanity, and that is blood-dripping, murderous hatred for Nazis and their ilk.
Good.
Yeah, but later on in the show, of course, towards the end, we, of course, have in our show notes a link to the letsweekenders@gmail.com. That is our official mail-in email address, so if you've got any comments and stuff, please let us know, because we are our audience is growing, and God help us, we have no goddamn idea why. What's wrong with you people?
So
anyway, all right, so start show off. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I've been watching and listening to some stuff this week. Downloaded and watched Atomic Blonde, which was far better than I had any expectation of.
That's what people tell me.
Yeah. It kind of looked like a really stupid, cheesy kind of action movie during the trailers and stuff. It was highly promoted during E3. Like, you couldn't really get away from it, especially if you were watching IGN. But, yeah, Charlize Theron is in that book, and she does a really book movie. And she does a really excellent job at playing a, MI6 spy. It seems like that movie is going to be kind of tongue-in-cheek, but no, it's actually quite serious. And it is stylish as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that soundtrack, yeah, I was back in 1989. It's just great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, needless to say, highly recommended. And if you know anything about Charlize Theron's roles, you might pick up the twist. But if not, you're in for a nice ride.
So,
good one. Other than that, I also watched Hancock, which was really dumb, but also kind of charming. So, yeah, Will Smith. I don't know. That was one of the later movies that he did, I suppose. But, imagine, I don't know if any of you guys have seen it.
No? Yeah, but I have.
Brandon has, so. Yeah, imagine if Superman was a drunk asshole.
That he is.
Yeah, so that's Hancock. it's probably worth watching just for that, but the story takes a weird more.
It's a very weird movie.
Yeah, it's
doesn't really know what it wants to be.
No, it doesn't know what it wants to be. There's like plot holes that are so gigantic you could probably skydive through them. But it somehow still manages to be kind of an enjoyable movie that it works if you just turn your brain off for a couple of hours. So yeah, it's decent. So watch that. I've also been watching Mr. Robot. I'm caught up season 3, episode 3, which was more of a contextual episode because it gives you like basically background info on stuff that happened in the previous seasons. And they also seem to deliberately take a break from that to take a shot at Trump.
Huh.
Yeah. I won't go into too many...
No, it's always the right time for that.
Yeah. Well, I won't go into too many story spoilers, but I'll basically summarize this particular scene in which there's a Chinese... I would call him politician. He's talking to his American PR agent. And he's basically saying to the guy, okay, well, I think we have a political candidate that you should back. And on the screen, on the TV screen, he looks over and it's Trump making his Make America Great Again speech.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the look on the PR guy's face is like, are you kidding me? I know America is desperate, but this guy's a buffoon and completely detached from reality. So, yeah. It seems like they just kind of stuck that in there just to take a shot at Trump. And I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah.
You'd surprise a show about anti-authoritarianism. Can I take a shot at the president?
Yeah.
This huge asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. I had to like pause the show and just like until I stopped laughing because it was like, wow, I can't believe that happened. So yeah, if you haven't watched Mr. Robot, I think you really need to get caught up. And Teresa,
oh my god, yes, I'm dying. Well, now that winter is almost here, you know, I'm hoping that. Well, if he doesn't watch with me, I'm watching it on my own.
Yeah. Because
Mr. Robot.
Well, worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And apart from that, I've been listening to Age of Swords, the second book of Michael J. Sullivan's First Empire series. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Picks up. It's basically telling the story of how the Frey and the Durg... basically elves and dwarves, how they ended up in the situation that they are in the Rhaera Chronicles and Revelations series, which happens like a couple thousand, about 1,000 years after these books that I'm reading now. So, yeah, I like Michael J. Sullivan's writing. There's, it's well written. It's a lot of, I wouldn't say humor because it's a pretty serious subject, but he doesn't, he doesn't go super, super dark. He does like to keep things as light as possible sometimes. So, yeah, good stuff. And that's pretty much it for me.
All right. Pat, what about you?
Well, I filled my quota of one visual novel a year. And just in a moment of boredom, picked up Doki Doki Literature Club off of Steam because it's, you know, free.
Yeah.
And everything I've heard about it is awesome, even though horror isn't usually my thing.
And make no mistake, it is a horror visual novel. It doesn't look like it.
It warns you, to be fair.
Yeah.
I've been recommending people to just go in blind, but with an awareness of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it will tell you that much before you... I think there are at least 3 or 4 disclaimers before you start playing.
Yeah.
But then, you know, don't read up information on it. Don't, Polygon wrote a pretty good piece on it, a week or so back, but even that I felt gave away too much. just go in blind, commit to an afternoon. That's all it really asks of you. And enjoy the head trip. This is something that it's a storyline, it's a game design, and it's got a villain that all of which I think are going to warrant discussion for quite some time to come. So, yeah, I was extremely impressed, especially since it was literally a free game.
Yeah.
So, it occasionally resorts to the kind of lazy narrative of the jump scare, but honestly, more often than not, they're jump gut punches. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, give it a try. Other than that, I just got word about an hour ago that my roommates managed to score a classic edition.
That's classic.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're going to have to hack the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, I told him, I told Tony we're probably required by law to put Chrono Trigger on it. So,
yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah. What's kind of cool about the SNES Classic Edition is that the games that you put on it don't have to be SNES games.
Nope.
Nope. It will run.
I think they got Neo Geo stuff running on it by now.
Yeah, but just using the regular hack cheat hack, you can do SNES and NES because the NES emulator is in there too.
Huh.
So, yeah, you could have a kind of best of console.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably something that. That I'll be diving into at some point soon.
Cool.
That's been my week.
All right, Teresa, what about you?
Oh, I've been doing a little bit here and there. Watching some of the new DuckTales, which
isn't it awesome?
Oh my god, it is awesome! And Dave,
I have only seen the first episode, and that was like, I already know this is going to be a modern classic.
Yeah, you're in. You're already in. keeping up with Star Trek Discovery.
Did you notice that they basically within like the first 5 minutes they kind of tied in that show to basically the other parts of the Disney afternoon?
Yes. There was so much they have good people working on this. I mean, you can tell. So I've been digging that, and I want to watch more, but, we got to have all three of us together to watch it. Because, we can't just go off and watch our own things, but that's all right. Back to Mr. Robot. That's, a thing. but we've also been watching Star Trek Discovery, keeping up with that, and... keeping up with Michael What's-Her-Face's career in Starfleet, and that is it's a good series. I mean, if you guys haven't watched it, then check it out. Definitely. Star Wars Rebels came back on, so we've got season 4 going, and the first 4 episodes, the first one was a 2-parter, so it was 1 and 2 together. And then the next week was 3 and 4 together, and they're really getting that set up nicely. And, I am starting to get really freaking sick of the whole, the lure of the dark side, blah, 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 bullshit. But that's just part of Star Wars, and so I have to suck it up and deal with it. But it's...
I'm actually hoping that The Last Jedi is going to... do something about that.
Right? Because it's just so much drama.
Because it seems to be, that seems to be what it's leading to, or at least that's what the trailers seem to be implying.
Yeah, well, and I read a lot of the Extended Universe Star Wars stories back when Mara Jade was a thing and all that, before the whole retcon stuff. And, that was always the overarching theme of everything is the whole, the lure of the dark side. This one's going to fall to the dark side. That one's going to fall to the dark side. Let's stick a lightsaber through our dad. It's still going on. And I guess I'm getting just a little bit freaking sick of it. I wish that they could find something else to go on about. But it's not, Star Wars is not like Star Trek. They really don't have the other avenues to travel down, you know, to deliver a story. So, but yeah, I'm still watching it, obviously. I think that's really all that I've watched. I haven't been reading anything right now. I need to get back to, Lords and Ladies, which is the Terry Pratchett novel that I'm in the middle of. But I have been doing, again, a shitload of Final Fantasy XIV. So much. I log on in the morning just to check the auction house. Well, not auction house, the market board. See if I sold anything, put things back up. And the next thing I know, it's 3 in the afternoon. So, yeah. And then I've also been playing Civ 6. There was a new expansion that came out, and I forgot that I had already bought the DLC pack, so I've got that. Which is nice. It is nice. But other than that, that is pretty much my week.
Yeah, that's pretty busy.
Yeah, somewhat.
All right. Well, Chris, what about you?
Okay, so I have watched all of the Stranger Things. I rewatched season 1 yesterday and all of season 2 today. And it's still really good. I think what I expected out of this new season was very different from what it ended up being. It seemed like, okay, we finished this threat, now we got a whole new threat. And without really spoiling too much, they kind of just reveal that that threat never actually went away, really. Mm. And so they kind of expand upon things, expand upon these different characters, the main characters, and do a really good job with it. I'm really not interested in spoiling things, but it does a really good job with what it tries to do. And I'm curious to see if they try for a season 3. But yeah, that's been a lot of fun to watch today.
Hmm.
It was interesting seeing some... There's at least like one or two new big name actors in here. Sean Astin is in it. Which was a surprise because I didn't really recognize him until I saw the credits on like on the final episode. I was like, wait, he was in it? And I thought, oh, yeah, I guess that is him. I guess he's old enough now to be playing older characters. I was like, that's very depressing. Mm. But yeah, that's been pretty good. I've been watching more Game of Thrones. I'm in the middle of season 6. And I wasn't really surprised when the whole Jesus thing happened. I decided, hey, this character is Jesus now. And which was not really a surprise because that character is still in the marketing materials and all that. So I was like, that, he's not staying down. Somehow they're just going to bullshit this back into being alive, and they figured it out. And that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. But yeah, it's interesting seeing where this stuff is going. Though I had been under the impression the sort of flashback stuff was a much bigger deal in this season, and it hasn't really been that big of a thing. I think I had heard from somebody that was like the majority of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's been like 2 scenes so far. That's about it. Of like, hey, here's what teen Sean Bean looks like, or that sort of stuff. Like, hey, here's these characters when they were way younger. You know, most of these characters that are dead now. But yeah, that's been pretty good. I'm looking forward to continuing to watch it. As for games, I got Super Mario Odyssey last night. Picked it up at midnight at Best Buy and was not really pleased that they didn't sent me the email like, hey, you can pick us up at midnight till it was 11:37. Yeah. It's a 20-minute drive, so it's like,
crap.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, well, if I'm going to go get it, I better leave right now.
Clothes? Optional.
Yeah. Luckily, by the time I got there, it was mostly cleared out up there.
Mm-hmm.
There were still, like, maybe a half dozen cars in the parking lot. But otherwise, I was able to walk in and just go up to one of the online pickup registers to get my thing. And I guess I've been going there enough that the one guy just recognized me and's like, looking through all the copies, like, where's the name for this guy? So I got my physical version. I got the little coin, pre-order coin that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of like the one that came with Galaxy when you pre-ordered that. And like a little mini poster. That is weird. But definitely has a picture of the Mario T-Rex on it, along with a bunch of other other characters that Mario can possess throughout that.
Yeah, they knew, they understood their audience, didn't they?
And I've been playing it. I'm in the second main world, which is the Sand World, Sand Kingdom, I forget what it's called. And it's pretty cool. I'm still getting used to some of the controls because it's a little bit complicated, especially when they try to throw in motion controls in there for throwing the hat, Cappy.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can still do with the Pro Controller. You can just sort of put the controller up or, you know, to the side or whatever.
Oh.
Or just shake it uncontrollably and see it do things. Yeah, the hat stuff I'm not a huge fan of so far. Mostly just because it doesn't feel like it has great control to it. But other than that, it's a lot of fun just exploring these levels and trying to find the different challenges and whatnot they have to get the Power Moons, which are sort of the new sort of main collectible. Instead of stars, it's moons, which is pretty good. It feels like a much better Super Mario Sunshine.
Mm.
Where you don't have this this really bad controlling mechanic of the flood.
Yeah.
You have much better controls and all that. It's just sort of getting the hang of navigating the world when you have this hat that can help you like jump up. Being able to like hold down the hat button to have it stay out, which is good for capturing stuff that you know where it's going to come from. Like Chain Chomps, I can just throw it out, and the Chain Chomp, when it rears up to jump at you, you'll just take over it from there. And it's just fun to explore these levels and sort of like look around and be like, oh, there's something I haven't done yet, so there's probably a moon over there.
And like these are like these levels are like wide open too, aren't they?
They're pretty big. Yeah. The first one you get into is not that big, but it's more vertical.
Yeah.
Cause it's kind of this, grassy area. And it seems like so far all the levels are kind of islands in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that they're not like open worlds, like how every open world game is set on an island.
Yeah.
So that it limits your ability to actually go anywhere. This is kind of the same, except they're kind of just floating in the sky. So there's just nothing around. So if you fuck up, you just fall to your death. Yeah. Well, that's kind of always how Mario does those things.
Hmm.
But yeah, like the first level, they throw the T-Rex right at you. So you know the big moneymaker so far for what the marketing has focused on. Which the whole first level has a lot of like realistic looking environment, like a lot of grass, rock, all that sort of stuff. So it's like, oh, this looks out of place for a Mario game. And you see like the realistic looking T-Rex, and like, yep, this is a different Mario game. But yeah, it's been good so far. I've found Captain Toad, so he's hanging out around.
Mm-hmm.
Though he didn't have any like Captain Toad levels in there.
Mm.
I mainly just found him. He's like, oh, you found me. Here's a moon.
Okay.
Yeah, so far so good. It's pretty neat to keep playing that. The second level is the Sand Kingdom, where I found my first like normal human.
Mm-hmm.
He had like the whole thing with this Sand Kingdom is it's become kind of frozen.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of like ice crystals around, and so I found a guy who I guess was a cabbie, and somehow he's in this kingdom, and his cab is stuck in ice. And I guess you're supposed to beat this level, and then it sort of unlocks the rest of the stuff that's in it. So it'll open up things like in the first level, there's these like rocks hanging in front of doors that you can't break. And I'm like, maybe I get another ability for this, but now you just beat like the weird wedding planners. Like instead of like the Koopa Kids or anything like that, it's wedding planners. They're all those like the weird rabbit looking dudes.
Oh.
Yeah. Like the first boss, you kind of can, she has like a pet chain chomp. So you
her.
Yeah, and you pull that back and just launch him at her. You do that 3 times and you win the boss fight. And it's that sort of stuff. But yeah, so far so good. I've also been playing a good bit of Undertale.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met the two skeleton brothers, Sans and
Papyrus.
Yeah. Who, if you don't recognize the names, those are fonts, and their text is in that font.
That's hysterical.
Like an 8-bit version of the font.
That's absolutely hysterical. I love that.
Which was great coming off of having watched the recent SNL skit about the Papyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Gosling just having a huge hate boner for Papyrus.
Mm.
Sort of being mad that James Cameron used Papyrus for the Avatar font.
Have you guys ever... I think there's an old movie or documentary type thing about fonts. Have you guys ever watched that?
No.
I have not, but it sounds like something I should.
Yeah. That came up in my like circle this week. Documentary
that would be out there.
Yeah.
That was fun, especially with the Papyrus being kind of an idiot.
Yes.
Setting up puzzles. Like the first one, you have to walk a specific route across this little area, and it's an invisible maze, and he ends up forgetting that he's supposed to give you the orb, so you get shocked when you run into it. And so he ends up leaving the footprints that you have to walk through it, and that's sort of it's like, oh, how'd you solve my maze?
You haven't killed anyone in there yet, have you?
I beat the mom.
You didn't kill her, did you?
I don't know if I killed her or not. I beat her, like, did the actions. I couldn't figure out what the any mercy rules, but I'm still level 1.
So did she turn into dust after you beat her, or?
I think.
Yeah, you killed her.
Okay.
Bastard.
Good. She was evil. Going that route, the pacifist route, is a bit tough because if you're not great with the combat mechanic, you're going to lose a lot of health,
mm-hmm.
and have to potentially lose a lot of progress unless you're just because they don't have the merchants around very often to buy stuff. But that's been pretty fun so far to keep going. Mm-hmm. I think I'm still in the middle of the puzzle stuff.
It's going to be weird when you get further on in the game. So on the PC version, there's it's not really that much of a spoiler, but there's one point where the game deliberately crashes.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering how they're going to handle that on the PS4.
Well, I'll report back when I get to that.
Yeah.
The one thing I do like about it on PS4 is that the trophies are done in the most hilarious, lazy way.
Mm.
You can tell he wanted to put them in, but didn't want to put any effort.
Well, so actually, like, he hates trophies.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of like,
so it's like, hey,
put them in because I have to, but
you got a second item. You got to this save point.
Yeah.
So it seems like you'll probably get all of them about halfway through the game.
Wow.
That's what it seems like so far. But yeah, that's been pretty much it.
All right. Well, oh, come on. You guys know what I was doing today.
Doing what I wish I was doing, man. They haven't even gotten the copy in the library.
I was killing Nazis. Lots and lots and lots of Nazis. Yeah, so Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus came out today. I went and got it this morning. And, yeah, it's as good as you think it is. Holy shit, that is one of the best looking single player games I've ever come across. It is purely a single player game. There is no multiplayer in it.
This was apparently a news story to a lot of people.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I think it was the same with the first. There's no multiplayer.
Both of the Wolfenstein games that have come out have not had multiplayer.
Yeah. But yeah, it basically starts up right where the first game ended. Them getting away, just as the bomb goes off. You spend the first sort of few minutes in the game in a wheelchair. Not that that seems to stop BJ. He still manages to kick ass just as well. Frau Engel, she is still alive, and she is more or less the big bad of this particular game. A lot of interesting characters showed up. I'm just sort of started it, so I haven't gotten that far into it. But, a lot of the old mechanics that you may remember from the first game are there. You know, there is no recharging health. You have to get health recovery pickups. So there is no... You also don't have a permanent recharging shield either. So you have to get health and armor.
Oh, so, I mean, like a good shooter.
Yeah. Also, like a good shooter, this game is not easy.
Yeah.
They throw shit at you pretty early on, and you have to learn to deal with it. But it's pretty cool. A lot of fun. Just be prepared to die a lot, because you will.
That's one of those.
Oh yeah. Fortunately, the mechanics you do get used to pretty quickly. The clan is in the game.
Yeah.
And you get to shoot the clan. Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Yes, you get to shoot the clan.
Yeah, it was in that trailer that I put on Facebook, labeling it a brief instructional.
Mm-hmm. The folks over at Rebellion actually sent over a congrats for Wolfenstein 2. It was from I think it was on Facebook or Twitter. It said, "Congrats to Wolfenstein from fellow Nazi punchers." So you don't know, Rebellion does Sniper Elite, and in those games you get to shoot Hitler in the butt in the balls. So,
yeah, and get some awesome MK X-ray style animations when you do so.
Yeah, they just
I see a great Twitter comment for Wolfenstein 2. Mm-hmm. Hello, everyone. I'm a centrist liberal, and let me say that the first Wolfenstein is too damn hard, and I can't get past the first level. The enemies won't listen to my reasoned discourse on why their ideology is flawed and just shoot me to death. I have a lot of weapons at my disposal, but killing the Nazis would make me as bad as them. Does anyone have links to a walkthrough that would allow me to keep the moral high ground?
Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, but...
It would be hilarious if that was actually an option. It was like a stealth run, but instead of snapping their necks, you just show their the reasoned discourse into their face, and then they fall down. It'd be like the modern version of sneaking.
Yeah, but a funny thing, on top of all of that, it would be there for the record. The people at they had started work on this game back in 2014, like about 3 years ago. So, obviously this game was well into development before the 2016 election, right?
Right.
But apparently they did start to realize what was going on out there later on. So, yeah, there are definitely small little
Nods.
To the fact,
nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah. And before I move on, just real quick, those are out there. If you're going to play it and you're only doing it on PC, I would wait on the PC first, because apparently the PC version has some bugs in it. Because Bethesda.
Yeah.
Yep.
Surprise.
It has a tendency to crash, apparently. So, that's why if you go on Steam right now, it's got a 610 score, because a lot of people are reporting they're having hardware issues, I guess.
Yeah.
If you're like me and you've been just itching to kill you some Nazis, go out and get it, because holy crap, that first Nazi I put a bullet in its head, it was like sex.
Oh my God.
Catharsis in physical form.
The copy that
I'm
the library
about you tonight,
doesn't
Brandon.
Have it.
Yeah. But anyway. Did a bookstore run at the used bookstore. Nothing really big to add there. I did, I got the third and fourth volumes of The Land of Stories from Chris Colfer. Those are still going good. And I've been trolling skinheads online.
As I do.
Because, Wolfenstein was coming out this week, and I figured, how to get to the spirit.
Yeah.
And say, ha-ha, go online on Twitter, ha-ha, Jews are the superior race, goy. Oh, they hate that.
Oh, dear.
All right, so, anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Nope, I'm good.
No? Okay. Well then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And today I thought we'd do... Well, let's do another food one, shall we? Because, let's face it, there's going to be two shows in a row where Teresa's going to go away hungry. So.
God damn it.
All right. So, this is going to be a stupid question. Who here likes ketchup?
Don't mind it.
I kind of tolerate it. It's like, it's all right.
Well, I mean, your family's Italian. You've got marinara and stuff, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you got marinara, why would you do ketchup?
Right. See?
Well, I don't know if this is going to mean anything to you, but you guys understand I live in the Chicago area, and we've got this thing with hot dogs.
Yeah.
I generally eat my hot dog with only ketchup. Please don't tell anybody within 100 miles of me. They will kill me.
That's like saying you're a Nazi to reasonable people.
In Chicago, yeah, pretty much.
It's
there are three things you don't
close.
Do in, don't do in Chicago. Don't be a Nazi, don't put ketchup on a hot dog, and you don't do what Jon Stewart did that one time and called deep dish pizza just tomato soup in a bread bowl.
Yeah, you don't eat chain pizza.
Oh, shit, son.
And don't go to Uno's, apparently, because they suck.
Mm. Uno's pizza, they do suck.
Yeah. Anyway, so when everybody thinks ketchup, you got sort of a general idea in your mind of what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's usually the Heinz bottle. You know, it's got squeezable, bright red, tomato-y, usually very viscous and kind of plasticky looking.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but here's
where this is going.
Well, see, here's what a lot of people don't realize. What we call ketchup today, you'll notice on the labels they call it tomato ketchup, right? Mm-hmm. And I know you're thinking, why do they have to call it tomato ketchup? I thought there was only one kind of ketchup.
Dude, I've never thought that. Maybe I take too many things at face value. I have never thought that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, here's the thing. Tomato ketchup as we know it today is actually a pretty recent invention, because up through most of the 18th and 19th century, what we call ketchup was not what we would consider the tomato type. No. Most of the ketchup that existed up to that point looked less like Heinz and it looked more like this right here.
I see mushroom in the URL, Brandon. This is not going to end well, is it?
It's, yeah, so what you need to know about ketchup is it originally has its origins in 17th century China. They had a concoction of condiment made of pickled fish and spices that they called ketchup, which now you know where the name comes from. And, you know, as they were getting involved, as, you know, they had to face off with English colonists and all that stuff, the English colonists came across it and said, this isn't so bad. So they took it back home. And but they eventually ditched the fish and instead replaced it with mushrooms. So for most of history up until the late 19th century, ketchup was in fact made out of mushrooms. And on top of that, its consistency was also completely different, because unlike the tomato ketchup that's sort of plasticky and viscous, it was originally more of the consistency of Leyan Perrins, you know, Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah.
So instead of, like, you know, putting it in, squeezing it out into like a plasticky blob, you basically would splash it on top of stuff like if it was Worcestershire sauce. Yeah. And apparently what we now know of as tomato, there's like a sort of early recipe for tomato ketchup as far back as 1817. But you have to remember that for a long time, people thought that, at least in the Western world, thought that tomatoes were actually poisonous.
Well, like yeah, they're in the sunshade family, and it's not a stretch if you're familiar with that. Yeah, thank you. God,
nightshade family.
Wow, and, thank you.
And nightshade families, you know, they're plants that grow at night, and most of them are toxic, and tomatoes happen to be one of them. And you know, well, in, you know, at least up until like the mid 1800s, that was a fairly common, still a pretty common belief. I mean, it was a pretty slow, in the Western world, a pretty slow, misconception to get over. Because, well, I mean, you know, you've been taught your whole life that something is poisonous, and all of a sudden people are making food with it. It's not exactly going to be something you can just, you know, turn away. Yeah. And so eventually what happened, eventually there was, in the mid-1800s, there was a man named Jonas Jerkes, who was a farmer who started selling his own bottled ketchup with tomato instead of the regular mushroom. And then in 1876, F. and J. Hines had their little company, and they started bottling their own form of ketchup tomato sauce and ketchup, you know, tomato, and that's how we got ours.
Okay.
I mean, and keep in mind that even back then, there was still other ketchups being made outside of tomatoes. They still, of course, had the mushroom ones. They also had ones that were made out of walnuts. They had ones made out of, I've heard that they had some that were made out of other things like fish and potatoes. But eventually the tomato one ended up winning over all the other ones. So that's eventually how we ended up getting the ketchup we know today. A weird sort of concoction that has its origins in China and was originally made with mushrooms. And in fact, if you click that little link that I got in the description on that little picture, you'll see that there is still a company out there that sells bottled mushroom ketchup.
Yeah, Watkins.
Yep.
And, yeah, not surprised. Those guys sell everything.
Yeah, they do.
I can't be too bent about the ketchup on hot dogs thing, though.
Why is that?
It's good. Because
we've got bigger fish to fry.
Well, you might
because there are people in the world who are doing this.
Doing what?
Putting pumpkin spice on hot dogs.
Oh, fuck that. Are you... You know what? I saw something today, and this pumpkin thing has got to stop. It was Peeps. You know, the... what are they?
Marshmallows.
Yeah. Mushroom. Got mushrooms on the brain now. The marshmallow. Ants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they took yellow Peeps, and it was at the store. It was packaged. The Peeps people did this, whoever the hell makes them. And they dipped them in pumpkin spice yogurt, and they were on a display while I was waiting to check out with some goddamn glue, and I had nothing else to look at. And they look like wrinkled mummy skin. It was disgusting.
Ew.
It was awful. Really. Corpse Peeps.
This pumpkin spice stuff has gone too far.
Yeah. When you're putting it on hot dogs.
Yeah.
Hot dogs and Peeps. And
you know what's shit. You know what's coming up that's going to go too far? You know what the next thing is? Cookie butter. Says somebody who had a cookie butter cheesecake bite just a few minutes ago.
Well.
Alright. Well. Now that's out of the way, it's time to start the show proper. And of course, we got our asshole of the week. And we had some candidates, but ultimately the one we ended up getting, it is a neo-Nazi Gamer Gator YouTuber, dude on Reddit who went by Seattle for Truth, stabbed his father after his father called him a Nazi.
Yeah, this guy has an interesting resume that taps all of the alt-right people that you might expect.
Yeah.
I guess he was a Milo intern?
Yeah, he was an intern from Milo Yiannopoulos.
He worked on Ralph Retort,
mm-hmm.
which is a notable Gamergate news site.
Mm-hmm.
He posted often on the Donald Trump subreddit. Yeah.
Hmm.
And obviously was a fairly popular conspiracy theorist YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess his father, his parents, Catherine and Charles, who were used to their son's outbursts. He was 33 at this time.
Mm-hmm.
They become so frequent that Charles had started recording the tirades on his phone. And they were tired of him screaming, wanted him to leave, and told him as much. Said Lane chased his parents around their home, spitting in his father's face while screaming that he wasn't threatening to kill them. But, quote, pedophiles who were taking over the country. Catherine Davis called 911. The tape of her call was acquired by the Daily Beast. He is not physically threatening us or anything. Catherine told dispatcher, he just gets out of control and he's ranting about stuff from the internet. No, not reported, but he's not working and he gets on these rampages and he just needs to move on. Dispatcher says, Catherine and Charles, stay away from Lane until the police arrived. We are trying to, but he's chasing us around the house. He's mad about something on the internet about leftist pedophiles. And he thinks we're leftists, and he's calling us pedophiles, and I don't know what all. Catherine laughed. He just lives on the internet. He gets really worked up about everything that's going on. He needs an intervention of some kind here. And
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, police were on the way. She hung up, but Charles kept recording. Let's see. Okay, Lane, enraged by his mother's 911 call, says, okay, well, here's the deal. If I'm going to go to prison for threatening to kill somebody, I mean, leave the knife alone. Charles says, well, he doesn't seem to hear or believe his mother, so you're going to send me to prison? Yes, my life is over. Minutes later, she called 911 again. The audio recording is hard to hear. In it, Catherine is running, and the portable phone she's using breaks up. Catherine screams, he stabbed him before the connection is lost. And Catherine called 911 again. He's dead, he's dead, he's dead. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Lane Davis told detectives that the fight had started over whether toddlers could consent to sex or not. And his father had called him a Nazi and a racist. He's being held on $1 million bail. Represented by a public defender, he's pleading not guilty to first-degree murder, and his trial is in January.
Yeah. So it sounds like this dude was, like, seriously mentally messed up.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, yeah. But maybe he also just fell into some horrible pit of some spiraling pit, obviously sucking him all the way down to the bottom of misinformation and paranoia and manufactured paranoia. I mean,
yeah.
Is it possible? This is way beyond the scope of our discussion, but is it possible for somebody who really is mentally sound to have nothing else going on and get sucked into this and be basically turned?
Absolutely possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a couple hundred folks who in Jonestown who could tell you that.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, you totally can.
He released a 3-hour-long documentary on Gamergate.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Pro-Trump raps, cooking tutorials, conspiracy theory stuff on vaccines, and September 11th being an inside job.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted about this. You know, I don't like the idea of striking your kid, but I mean, if they had pushed him out and made him get a job, would this have happened? Maybe not.
I want to put someone for, as somebody who still lives with his folks. You know, that's not the issue here.
No.
You know, because one thing, I actually have a job, but.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, also, he was 33, and here's the thing. I don't have a problem if you're living with your folks, because I do. I also don't have a problem if you're having trouble finding a job, because I had trouble finding a job for a long time. And that's both fine. You know, I'm not, you know, some people try to use that as like some kind of leverage or something on a person or at their worth or whatever. But, you know, the job market has been really shitty for about almost a decade now.
Yeah.
And
maybe longer.
You know, especially for people in their 20s and early 30s, it's not easy. The difference, however, is that this douchebag would complain all the time about freeloaders and welfare cheats.
What? Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to go back to my original statement. I am generally not for physically harming your child, but he needed to be smacked upside the goddamn head.
Yeah.
His father for not taking that shit. Unfortunately, it obviously came back to bite him in the end.
Yeah. So now the dude, yeah, he's in police custody. He's in jail. He's going to have his trial coming up. And this is kind of a pattern here. I don't know if anybody's noticed it, but these sort of alt-right figures have been sort of having these breakdowns, and they've ended up killing people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, mentions here that Ralph, Ethan Ralph, who ran the Ralph Report, Retort.
Yeah.
Serving 8 months in Virginia jail for assaulting a police officer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, did you notice that part where he talked about how, you know, whether or not the debate over whether or not a toddler could consent to sex? One thing about the alt-right I've noticed, they're really obsessed with pedophilia.
It seems to be just like the insult they use for a negative connotation, like how people used to say faggot.
Yeah.
That's like the alt-right online thing. Just call everybody a pedophile that they disagree with.
Yeah.
I assume it's all over 4chan and all that.
Probably.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a whole culture in that subset that really does debate whether or not young children can actually consent to sex, and who seriously think that they can.
Mm.
Yeah, which obviously leads to things like the pizza thing.
Yeah, the Pizzagate conspiracy, and
yeah,
that whole area is a downward spiral. It is a cult.
Yeah.
That is literally what it is. It's a whole very toxic swirl of various type of cults, all based on very fringe far right ideologies that have sort of coagulated together into a single whole.
And guess who is enabling all of that?
Our current president.
Yeah, he believes in the conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
he peddles them, and even when people call him out as bullshit, he never apologizes for it or anything like that.
No.
And speaking of which, good segue from our asshole of the week to our hero of the week. This week, while Trump was having his meeting on Capitol Hill with Mitch McConnell, a gentleman by the name of Ryan Clayton, who is a member of America Take Action, he had somehow managed to get his way into the press pool. And as, you know, Trump and McConnell were walking down the hallway and going in across the, around the corner in the press pool, a guy by the name of Ryan Clayton hurled a bunch of Russian flags at Donald Trump and shouted treason. By the way, if you look closely at those Russian flags, you might find something familiar about them. They're the same little mini Russian flags they handed out at the RNC with Trump across the middle white part. That's because that's the same organization.
I love the initial part of this video. The initial like screen is of Mitch McConnell walking alongside Trump as he's smiling,
or
attempting to smile. It's like, that's a horrifying thing. Like, his teeth aren't showing at all. It's like somehow if you try and stretch your lips across your teeth as you smile.
No, let's not do that. That's creepy sauce, man.
Yeah.
And that's Mitch McConnell.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what's got people talking about this is, like, again, this guy managed to get into the press pool, and obviously he didn't have any like a deadly weapon or anything on him. He had nothing on him that would have set off the detectors. It was just a bunch of pieces of just a bunch of flags. And you know, he hurls them at this guy and he shouts, basically he shouted, let's see, what did he do? He said, unfortunately they don't have it on this article, but
he
shouted,
says, Trump is treason.
Yeah, Trump is treason. Don't talk about tax cuts. You need to talk about treason. And of course here he is, he's getting dragged away by security. And I'm part of me wishes that it was more than just flags. like, I don't know, a baseball or something at his head, but this is a turning point here. Like, I genuinely see this as like a turning point. Because up until this point, no one out, you know, except for that one point during the race when that dude got a hold of Trump's ankle while he was up at the podium. This is the closest a protester has gotten to him.
Yeah.
And he actively managed to basically humiliate Trump on live television. And yeah, I'm convinced this is going to lead to something. That this is going to start something.
Yeah.
That is if he doesn't, you know, if Mueller doesn't come out in the next month. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's going to be in the next month. It seems like it might even be sooner.
Because I don't know if anybody's gotten this feeling, and maybe it's just me, but things seem to be coming to a head. Like, finally, after months of really just tense, it finally feels like something has finally cracked. And now you've got Jeff Flake and Bob Corker and John McCain, a couple of very sort of old school conservative Republicans have basically come out and just pretty much by name have just given the finger to Trump.
Yeah.
And
I mean, McCain sponsored, co-sponsored a bill that would basically add transparency to online political advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shit's starting to change.
Yeah, it's, I really think this, I really am starting to wonder if he's, I've never believed that he would go through the first term. I'm starting to wonder he may not even get through the first year.
When would the 1 year anniversary be? Well, technically it would be like the end of October, so.
Well, but he didn't take office
didn't
until
take office
middle
until
of January.
Middle of January, so.
Yeah.
He's still got a couple of months.
Yep.
Well, Mueller can still gift wrap us a nice present for Christmas.
Yeah. If he wants to put himself in the history books as one of the great American patriots,
yes,
he can just wrap all of this up and drop it on as Christmas Day. Mr. Clayton, you were a fine American. Keep doing what you're doing. And hopefully more people will be following in your footsteps. All right, so now it's time for the proper show proper. And first of all, we got celebrity death. We have to do rest in peace Fats Domino, one of the old school classics of rock and roll, 1950s era.
Very much a pioneer that inspired Elvis and the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Despite being primarily rhythm and blues, but his style sort of led into what those two did.
Basically him, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, basically they sort of set the stage for all of this that was going to come later.
Definitely something that maybe us on the podcast probably didn't grow up listening to, but definitely our parents.
Well, I used to watch Happy Days reruns, and everybody knows what his favorite song was. It was Fats Domino's "I Found My Thrill."
Blueberry Hill.
Anyway. But, so another rock and roll legend has gone on to the great beyond. He was, I believe, how old was he? I think he was like 91?
89.
So I was close.
Up there.
Oh, yeah, he's up there. Pretty much all those guys that are still around are up there. Little Richard is definitely getting on up in years. Yeah. And, of course, Chuck Berry isn't with us anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
Yeah, Little Richard is 84.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him on... what was the show with Steve Urkel?
Oh, you mean Family Matters?
Yeah. Wasn't he on that a few times?
Yeah, he probably was.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He was like extended family sort of thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Come on and play. Yeah.
Yeah, he was still active back then, or even after. Didn't he do the... theme song for the first Magic School Bus?
Yeah, I think he did. And he also, he was, he guested on Living Colors' first two albums, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. He was also, he was still fairly, he did movies and stuff. Wasn't he in the Blues Brothers?
Sadly, I can't tell you.
I can't remember, but he was still doing, because you remember, he's from my hometown.
James
Brown. Little Richard's from my hometown. So,
really?
Yeah, he's from Macon. He's kind of a big deal. Yeah, another great from the early days of rock and roll has passed. One of the guys that helped found it. So, that's sad. So, moving on from something that was loaded with dignity to something that's just, loaded with poo. we got another serial shitter, folks. Apparently some dude in Illinois is dropping trowel, taking poo, and then... shoving them into washing machines.
Yeah, like, at SIU, at Southern Illinois University.
Which makes
disturbingly
think that this
possibly
is...
just dropping trowel and defecating into the washing machines.
Thinking that they're toilets.
Well,
I'm starting to think this is a dude who may have just been so baked that he thought he was in the bathroom.
Many times.
the people up here who have money, they send their children to college, and they will send them to SIU simply to party. It is just overrun with drunkenness, and it has one hell of a reputation, and it is well earned. It is what is the opposite of Mecca? But it's Mecca for rampant underage drinking and, the deaths and the fatalities or the casualties that come along with that, too.
Yeah.
So that school is like just a giant shitstorm, and now their clothes smell like it, too.
Yeah.
If your students who are... having to do their laundry, you probably would want to check first. Now, you can't just take that the washing machines are going to be clean for granted anymore.
I mean, you're pretty sure that when you open up the goddamn lid, the smell would hit you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, so. Like so.
That doesn't make the washing machine any more usable.
No, it doesn't, but... Wow. So
that's two in the same year. I wonder if there's going to be a third one. Because these things usually come in threes.
Yeah, I'm not even surprised by it being SIU. And if there was any goddamn school in all of Illinois where this would happen, that would be my first guess.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And now, folks,
the next one's going to be an Upper Decker.
Yeah, we just got breaking news, folks. We were talking about Mueller earlier about helping he would give us a good Christmas present. Well, we now know officially the very first charges in the Mueller investigation have been filed and the first indictment has been handed out. Don't know who it is to yet because it's sealed for now, but things are moving.
Stay tuned.
It is finally started, folks.
Probably not going to be long before we find out.
Yeah.
Supposedly they're going to take that person into custody as soon as Monday.
Yeah.
So we might find out when somebody doesn't show up for their job.
Yeah. And it means now that, yeah, he's finally got some shit and we're getting ready for it. And
I imagine it's going to be a small name.
It'll probably be a small name, but that's where
it starts.
But
it'll also be smoke indicating the presence of fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, man, it's finally happening, folks. It's finally the wick has been lit, and now you just got to wait for it to reach the dynamite.
And if even one person goes down, you have to imagine Trump does too.
Yeah.
Well, plus, you know, if this person goes down, he's probably going to want to take as many people with him as he can.
Yeah, so prepare yourselves, folks, because the fallout is going to be glorious.
Yes.
It will be just the greatest. There will be people dancing in the streets.
Not making that up. There will be people dancing in the streets.
Yeah. I'll be one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't know.
And I can't dance, but fuck it.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. All right. Now. With that, we got more political news, which is that Nunes and his intelligence committee is currently investigating the Clinton uranium deal, as long as, of course, the old emails bullshit.
Yeah, this is just stupidity. I saw somebody describe this well as the Republicans are said they won the White House because they can't just investigate Hillary Clinton for the next 4 years.
Yeah. Like, you really would have thought at this point, you would have realized, like, this is your dream, guys. This is what you wanted. You could control pretty much all of the you control the executive, you control both legislative, and if things go your way, it's pretty possible you're going to end up controlling the Supreme Court as well.
Well,
and yet you guys still can't get shit done.
What is it that Spock very famously said? Having a thing is not so pleasing as wanting a thing. It is not logical, but it is often true. And in this case, they just wanted to bitch and moan and gripe because they don't want to actually do the fucking work.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. It's busy work. They would rather do this, which probably won't amount to very much. And even if they do find something, there's not a whole lot of consequences to be had than actually investigate the stuff going on in their party, which would probably sink them. So, yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. God damn, this is going to make for some beautiful television. I'm telling you. Yeah.
The HBO series that stems from this is going to be amazing.
I am waiting for the Oliver Stone movie that's going to come out of all of this.
Yeah.
Oh, remember, if you have an erection that lasts longer than 4 hours, see a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in more political news, folks, no, Kid Rock is not actually running for Senate. It was basically just a prank that he was pulling. And either that or he kind of – well, it's two things possible. Either – yes, he was just fucking with us this whole time. Or, number two, he had a sudden realization where he was like, oh, wait, shit, they might actually try and vote me in. Ah, ha, ha, guys, I was just playing.
It's like, oh, wait, I would actually have to do work. Oh, crap.
Then he's got an album coming out soon.
Yeah, it's perfectly possible that he was doing this just to promote it. So,
people still listen to his crap?
Oh, yeah. I think he also said, see, it's the worst advice I ever gave myself. Talking about the Senate idea, but it's been the most creative thing I've ever done, which is a hell of a statement when you think about how much he's just, you know, done his own version of Sweet Home Alabama, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
He's not very creative. Just look at his lyrics.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to make this sort of our own version of Sweet Home Alabama, where we talk about Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even, like, sample the actual song. He just gets out a guitar and plays the actual part of the song.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
God. By the way, what... Dude, you're a freaking white guy from the suburbs in Detroit. You ain't no goddamn redneck, okay?
Oh, that's his demographic now.
It's redneck been his demographic for a long time.
That is...
Which is amazing, because he started off in rap rock.
Yeah.
No, he actually started off in rap. He was a white rapper when he started.
I'm talking about when he basically...
When he broke.
Back.
Yeah.
It was rap rock when he broke, and then southern rock.
Like, hey, I'm the guy from Detroit with the midget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like the most notable thing about him was, hey, we got this little guy that tours with us, and he died 20 years ago at this point or something like that.
Yeah. Had his own album.
And then there was that collaboration he did with Sheryl Crow for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
Try Riding Coattails, maybe?
Maybe.
Just a little bit.
I don't. Well, in more music news, Eminem, everybody's other rap, white rapper who can actually, you know, rap, has won his lawsuit against New Zealand's National Party and has gotten $600,000 in the process.
What actually happened here?
So is that like, that's about $20, right?
$413,000.
Hmm.
Essentially,
he doesn't even need, but
yeah, they released a campaign commercial that featured a song that sounded a lot like "Lose Yourself."
Yeah,
John Oliver followed this a lot, just as more reason to keep making fun of New Zealand. But the song itself that they sampled is actually titled Eminem-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Not subtle.
So it's like,
guys.
Okay, yeah, very subtle. Like, hey, we're just going to rip off Eminem. I mean, that's just going to be the song title because we don't have any ideas.
That's damning.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, there's a link to the original music video for Lose Yourself as well as the campaign ad in the video that you should definitely listen to. And there's some great stuff that John Oliver had of them actually playing it in the courtroom, where everybody is acting like they're in a courtroom and not reacting to the fact they're listening to an Eminem song in the middle of it, which is great. But yeah, they obviously figured out the obvious things like, hey, it's Eminem-esque. This song is a ripoff of Eminem's music, and they just wanted to go cheap and not actually pay the license for the actual song.
Yeah, I think this is there's a lot of these kind of suits that have happened in the past few years. I think when they the Pharrell Williams Marvin Gaye estate suit happened, and Pharrell Williams lost that one, I think that kind of opened the floodgates.
Yeah,
it'd be like if Ice Ice Baby was called Queen-esque.
Yeah. This one is a little bit more cut and dry.
Yeah. It's a shame we don't see more of these because there's just the whole problem of politicians just using any song during their campaign, even though they have to pay the rights.
And so
just constantly have artists come out and saying, we fucking hate you. Stop using our music.
Oh, man. That's been happening as far back as, like, freaking Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he played Born in the USA.
Bruce Spring.
Spring wasn't having any of that shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, freaking Paul Ryan has, you know, Paul Ryan is apparently a big fan of Rage Against the Machine.
And they fucking hate that son of a bitch. They hate him.
Feel like he's on fire over it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was Dropkick Murphys had a song stolen by some politician. And they actually, I think, put on Facebook, like, we literally hate you.
Yeah. I think it was Ted Cruz, actually. Yeah.
Maybe.
Ugh.
I don't know. Again, John Oliver covers this stuff really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has a big segment on that with a nice song that has a bunch of the typical artists that gets stolen stuff from, like Usher, Michael Bolton, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Fucking Bolton?
Yeah.
How desperate do you have to be for a political song if you're using Michael Bolton? Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, like, you know, Barracuda, that sort of stuff. Hmm. Also gets used a lot.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow, because that's the politician I want to get behind.
Yeah.
All right. But, yeah, moving on, we got a bit more music news, too. So, Marilyn Manson. Back in our youth, he was the fucking... Well, he was
a controversial person around.
He was like basically the devil incarnate for a certain subsection of America.
Yeah. What's amusing is he's from here.
Yeah.
In Ohio. Hmm. He went to a Catholic school around here.
Yeah, he's... Back when we were kids, you know, he was like... You realize the weird thing is a lot of the controversy came from hearsay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like people were saying, like, oh, he's like, you know, performing oral sex and bestiality on stage. And
the music video where he's nude.
Yeah.
Somewhat nude.
Yeah, that probably didn't help.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, now he's pretty considered kind of passe.
Yeah, that was 90s controversial.
Yeah.
Early odds.
I don't know, man. The only controversy here was when he canceled an appearance at Tower Records in the town that I live in because he was not feeling very well.
Hmm.
And everybody was like, everyone was lined up. They had been lined up for hours. And then,
Nothing. Mm. All right. Well, he has fired his longtime bassist, Twiggy Ramirez. Twiggy Ramirez, yeah.
So much after, like Marilyn Manson's not his full name. It's real.
Yeah.
Not really.
Twiggy Ramirez, after there have been these rape accusations against him by his former girlfriend.
Yeah, Jessica Adams of Jack Off Jill.
Yeah.
That's the name of the band?
Yeah, that's the name of the band.
Just point that out.
Again, the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess she obviously did not talk about that for about 25 years due to, as she said here, she attributes her delay in coming forward with the accusation to warnings from her label that if she went public, her band could get likely blackballed by concert promoters, radio programmers, and other bands and their managers. So they fear just basically getting no work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the people around Marilyn Manson would use their power to destroy the band as well as her own reputation.
Yeah. Well, like we said earlier, you know, back in the 90s, there was this bit of sort of awe of mystique around Marilyn Manson and the record companies and, to a certain extent, Marilyn himself really exploited that because it worked. Yeah. It sold albums.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sold concert tickets. So...
And this is, of course, fallout from the Weinstein revolution.
Yeah, this is more of that. And, of course, we've got... Everybody knows, I mean, even George H.W. Bush has gotten...
Yeah.
Still, like, the thing with this is you don't necessarily think of Marilyn Manson as a, you know, reasonable, moral person.
Yeah.
It's like, even he can come to the right conclusion in this situation, say, we don't need this guy around. Yeah. If this is what he has done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Of course, if you've actually looked at Marilyn Manson's actual life story, you find out he's actually pretty blasé.
Yeah. Except for, I remember reading a story about how he did a interview with some media person. It was really crazy stuff. I don't remember the specifics.
Yeah.
But it was pretty weird stuff. But other than that, like, obviously we don't hear much about Marilyn Manson anymore. So he's just doing his thing.
Yeah.
He's just doing his thing.
And like his statement, I knew Jessica and Jordy. So Jordy White is Twiggy Ramirez's real name. Had a romantic relationship many years ago, and I consider and still consider Jessica to be a friend. I knew nothing about these allegations until very recently, and am saddened by Jessica's obvious distress.
Yeah.
So it's like he's treating it with everything, all the reverence he needs to.
Or
just being Mr. Metal Guy.
Anyway, his publicist anyway, who probably wrote that.
Not being what you typically expect out of people in metal and all that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, moving on from there. In Europe, specifically Norway, the very first underwater restaurant will be opening in 2018. Because of course it is.
This is a restaurant that you actually have to get to with a submarine.
Yep.
It's an interesting design. Not so much on the outside where it just looks like a big concrete block that's sticking into the ground, into the water.
Mm-hmm.
But on the inside, it looks pretty neat. It's... Yeah... I guess it's supposed to be out 2019, early 2019. They're starting to work on it in 2018.
Mm-hmm. So, incoming lawsuits when?
I just wonder when, you know, you start having underwater restaurants, at what point do we end up with the underwater city, and then we end up with the splicers, and...
And then we have Rapture, yeah.
So that would be... 2020? 2025?
Well, if Elon Musk has anything to say about it, probably
I do like
sooner
one
than
of these,
that.
Sort of art bits for this thing, like just showing off ideas. Shows like very stormy, weather going on. Very depressing look to this whole thing.
Well, one thing we do know is it's going to be super expensive.
Because, of course.
Yeah, it fits about 100 people. There'll be a champagne bar. The dining room, two long tables, several smaller ones positioned in front of the large acrylic window, which is about 13 feet tall.
I don't know, man. It sounds like a really good way to catch the flu or a cold.
Yeah.
I mean...
I would imagine they have... air and heat and all that.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, it's worse than being on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're also having this thing sort of double as a marine biology lab, so...
Okay. Yep. Norway. I guess they gotta do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of natural stuff, moving on from there... here in the U.S., the National Park Services have announced that they're planning to double fees for peak season.
Up to about $70 during the peak.
Yeah.
From about $25-$30 for normal time. So, cost for a motorcycle in a park could increase to $50 from currently $15 to $25. Cost for people entering the park on foot or on bike could go up to $30 from 10 to 15.
Oof.
Mm.
Yeah.
The annual pass, it says, would remain at $80.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if part of the reason they're doing this is because...
they want to sell more annuals.
Yeah, because our current administration has been trying their best to defund the National Park Services.
Probably.
And they still got to get that revenue somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, my tinfoil hat is totally on because the first thing I thought is, well, they want to privatize these and sell them to corporations. So this is coming from above. And this is part of the way that they're going to sell that nasty little pill, that jagged little pill to the American public is, oh yeah, you're going to pay $70 to get in. So, it's bullshit. So why don't we just farm it out and privatize it? But
awesome.
Yeah, I know, but that's a really big tinfoil hat though. I do understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a big tinfoil hat, but at this point, would any of us be surprised?
No.
Sadly, no.
Like the whole point of having these national parks is it's a cheap like summer vacation kind of way. You go on a road trip with your family.
Yeah.
You know, you stop at, you know, one or two of them or whatever. And they're fairly cheap.
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, next up in science news in China, and not the mainland, People's Republic of China, scientists there have created 12 healthier pigs with 24% less body fat via CRISPR.
Yeah, pay attention to this, folks. This is where the genetic revolution starts.
Yep.
What's interesting about this is it's addressing one of the weird flaws with pigs that doesn't happen with any other mammals,
mm-hmm.
which is that they these ones have a gene that allows them to regulate their body temperatures better by burning fat.
Mm-hmm.
Which they used, obviously, the CRISPR to genetically modify, I think, rat genes, sort of find the gene there that affects that stuff, put it into a bunch of pig, embryos, and mm-hmm. stick those in 13 female pigs, 3 actually got pregnant. And produce these 12 male piglets.
Yeah. So what it means is that they can actually control their body temperature and lose weight.
Yeah.
Because a lot of pigs actually, for whatever reason, pigs, unlike a lot of the other animals in the animal kingdom, cannot really control their weight all that much. They eat, and they get fatter, fatter, and fatter. But what this will allow is it would allow them to be healthier. It'll, you know, they won't all be, you know, trapped in small little places. They can all move around more. Their meat will actually be healthier and better for you. And it's overall a really good step forward for animal welfare.
And the CRISPR edit will probably make its way into humans in the not-too-distant future, because I can pretty much guarantee there will be some people who would like this ability.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I won't deny. If I could do that, I definitely would.
So, yeah. CRISPR is going to be very exciting. I expect in the next year or so, we're probably going to see a lot more of these kind of stories. Because, we're right on the cusp of it. And it's a technology that's advancing at a really, really rapid pace. And it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, next up, we've got a story from Phil's part of the woods. In Canada.
Yeah, I'm actually bummed about this.
Yeah, so Soylent has officially been banned in Canada for not meeting their standards for meal replacements.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck? People give that stuff so much bad shit.
Yeah, so the actual problem with this, from what Canada, with the regulations, is that it has too high of a fat content.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's supposed to be in the 30% range. It's about 40%.
Yeah, well...
And they're not going to change the recipe just for one country.
Nope.
Yeah, and really. The fat content is what keeps the hunger cravings away when people are using that to replace one or maybe even two of their meals.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a real bummer. Because I kind of like the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The coffee one's actually pretty good.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Somebody want to smuggle some in for me? Because that'd be nice.
Yeah, if you sponsor my citizenship.
Yeah, I'll double up on that one. If you'll sponsor my citizenship, I'll bring a case over.
Fair enough.
All right. Mm. Well, so to be honest, I actually don't expect this to last too long. I'm pretty sure at some point either the company that makes it will make some deal with the Canadian government, or they might just change the recipe somehow.
They might add some legalese to it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe make it so it's not technically a meal replacement, even though it totally kind of is.
Yeah. But anyway, so, all right, now from Nissin Foods, the people famous for cup noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And
this one right above that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I completely forgot. Yeah, so first of all, before that, in France, there is a butter shortage. And because of that, croissant prices are skyrocketing.
Oh my god, that's horrible.
That's not good.
It's like one of their staples is the croissant.
Yeah.
And we're totally butchering the pronunciation, and we know it. It's okay.
Croissant!
Thank you.
It's a croissant.
Well, we found our show title.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Fuck you, you smelly frog bastards. It's a croissant and you're gonna like it.
Croissant.
It's better than crescent.
Yeah. That's what we call them over here, crescent rolls.
Mm.
Well, yeah, it is. Yeah.
I guess their butter prices have doubled in the past year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what the
above heck? 6 euros or about $7 a kilo.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's
Phil understands expensive. That we don't understand what a kilo is.
Yeah. Kilo is 2.5 pounds.
Yeah. So it's like 6 or 7 euros for 2.5 pounds of butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they show pictures of grocery store shelves that are kind of mostly empty.
Yeah.
How do you end up with a butter shortage? It's not that hard to make.
Well, is there like mad cow disease or some shit going on?
The shortage is the result of falling milk production and rising butter demand globally. With consumer attitudes towards the spread once shunned as unhealthy, turning more positive.
Oh, that's right, because people found out that, you know, the margarine and sugar.
Yeah.
Found out the margarine and the shortenings are actually worse for you than regular actual butter.
Yeah.
Didn't people find this shit out like 15 years ago, or was I slightly ahead of the bell curve there?
Well, they did more or less start finding out of this 15 years ago, but food companies managed to keep the lid on that for a while until eventually the rest of the media and the rest of the world picked up on it.
Yeah, and retailers have been kind of trying to keep the prices as low as they can for this stuff, just in the hopes that it would maybe, you know, peak earlier and start going down, but that hasn't happened yet.
Mm.
So they're sort of wrestling with the the need to actually start passing on those extra costs down to the retailers and consumers.
Supply and demand, folks. Supply is doing its damnedest to meet demand, and that means higher prices. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism.
Capitalism, folks. It's what we got right now. Not the only way, you know. You could always try an alternative.
Yep.
Something. I don't know. An idea. Originated with a certain German English philosopher in the Victorian era.
Yeah.
Anyway. I want to say a saw. Ah, fuck it, I can't remember. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, as I was saying before, Nissin Foods, the people who are famous for cup noodles, pretty much the company that is responsible for popularizing instant noodles over in the Western world.
Well, some great commercials.
Yeah, also some pretty amazing commercials. They have invented a noise-canceling fork to cover up noodle slurping.
Yeah, it essentially plays music or some other noises that covers that up.
Yeah.
That's okay. Not really noise-canceling. That's
noise-hiding.
Yeah.
Where the fuck are they marketing this? Because you're supposed to eat them with chopsticks.
I don't know why they would do it in Japan, though, because slurping them in Japan isn't considered a...
No, it's like a it's cultural faux pas.
Yeah, it's considered a positive. It means you actually really like it, and you're supposed to do that. It signals to the, you know, whoever prepared the meal that they did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of why they're doing this quick run. It's 5,000 units they're offering for pre-order, which has to all be sold out or it's not going to be sold at all.
And they're not waterproof. They're not waterproof either. So that makes, you know, washing it a little bit of a concern. And, you know, actually using it around a cup of fucking noodles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it has a battery that lasts about an hour.
Yeah.
And you're going to charge it.
I would hope you're not eating ramen for an hour. That might be a pretty good hour.
Yeah.
Or a hell of a lot of ramen. Like,
oh, yeah. You also have to connect this thing to an app.
Because of course you do.
That's where you upload your music from.
Oh, fucking Internet of Things strikes again. Of course.
Oh,
God damn it.
The question of why you can't just open an app on your phone and play music to cover your poor noodle behavior is a fair one, but let's not get bogged down in the details, as it says in this article.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think Maru-chan would do? I would something like maybe they supply a needle that you can just, you know,
inject
rupture your eardrums with, because apparently your slurping is bothering you that much.
Yeah.
Did we say how much this fork costs?
Go ahead.
$130.
Oh, I was low.
14,800 yen. For a fork.
A fucking app. A fucking app for a fucking fork. I think I just became old.
Oh, that's happened to us a long time ago, Teresa, but that doesn't make this any dumber. I mean, that doesn't make this any less dumb. Just makes me dumber, because I can't contextualize tonight.
No, it's... God damn it. You know, I would like to say, oh, Japan, but
this is happening all over
even
the
for
world.
Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah, this kind of looks like a weird stylus I saw for the Wii U that lights up. It's like this big giant thing, which I could get that as like a stylus because that might be more comfortable than the little bitty one that comes with the Wii U or a 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a fucking phone. Fork.
It's almost as big as a fucking phone. Look at that thing.
Yeah, it looks like an electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
So that you can use when, like when the battery dies, like it's just an expensive fork.
Yep.
Doesn't look as good as actual expensive forks.
Ah. Ah, God damn it.
You need to spend more of this development time, like, making better vibrators or something. Jesus Christ.
Oh, there are internet-connected vibrators, too.
Dude, yeah, there are.
Well, see, those make sense.
There is an app for that, and that's not bad.
Yeah,
that's not. I'm getting.
See, that actually makes sense.
That was like half of Xbox Live indie games on the 360. Is like turn your controller into a vibrator or a massager.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Next up, we've got a really, really bad idea from Amazon. Amazon reveals Amazon Key, which is something that allows delivery people to enter people's homes.
Nope. 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 Nope.
Imagine when a black delivery person tries to do one of these things.
In Florida.
Yeah, this is, there's a bit more to it than that, because it requires that you actually have the Amazon camera as well.
Yeah, it looks like it's a
$120 internet-connected security camera called Amazon Cloud Cam.
Yeah. Because, having a camera directly linked to Amazon that's pointing at your door is a great idea.
Oh,
yeah,
it's a beautiful idea.
And apparently you have to, like, opt into the program with, like, a smart lock.
Yeah, it's like a $250 packaged with that.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't either.
You know, even if these people are, you know, background checked and they do the due diligence, don't want people walking into my house.
Yeah, this is just a lawsuit waiting to happen. Yeah. Like, somebody is gonna enter into somebody's home while someone is naked, and it's not going to end well.
Well,
the idea is that the delivery people would be delivering when you're not home.
Well, not necessarily. We have an Amazon key. His name is Henry. He's wonderful. He takes care of the building, and he has permission to enter our unit and deliver packages. If that's what we want him to do.
Yeah.
And so he does. And there are times when he knocks on the door and I'm getting out of the goddamn shower.
Yeah.
And when you know that there's somebody who can do that, it's always in the back of your mind. And so you just stay out of sight and let him unlock the door and drop it in the hallway.
Yeah.
And then, you know, quickly exit.
Yeah.
But I know they're saying that the Amazon delivery people are vetted with background checks and I'm sure license bonded, you know, whatnot, but
It's just, it's not a good idea at all. Just my vision is awash with prophecies of how this could go terribly, terribly wrong.
Well, it could. You know, they could let your cat out, your dog could run out, they could forget to lock it back up. I mean, there you go. But when it's not just one person, when it's a multitude of people, and it could be the same person two or three times, but
what if somebody else just decides to walk up to the house, act like you're the homeowner, and just go right in?
Also, let's say something else that's needs to be considered. This is all smart technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's all hooked up to the internet.
Yep.
How easy is it for somebody to hack into this and exploit it?
Well, I'm sure it'll be figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm more worried about the delivery guy that's having a really, really bad day and is delivering a package at somebody's house and, you know, hasn't maybe had a bit too much coffee and decides he can't hold it in anymore and pees all over your rug for some reason, you know. Because that will happen.
You know, I never thought of that. Again, like the tomato ketchup, I've never considered that as
a new serial shitter story.
Yeah.
Caught on camera.
Shits on your rug or inside the door.
Yeah.
So when you go to open it up, it just smears it all over the place.
Yeah. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on. A Lifetime. You know, that's television for women.
No,
it's a specific, even though it's television for women, and yet there's always a woman getting beaten on that network.
Yeah.
Any time of the day, Meredith Baxter Burney in a Lifetime special, Rod, in which she gets raped and beaten with a rod. It's...
Yeah.
Anyway, Lifetime movie is coming, starring Queen Latifah, about the Flint water crisis, and it's going to be airing tomorrow on the 28th.
Wait, is that 10? Yeah, that's 10/28. Yeah,
that's weird that there's a movie before the actual water crisis is over.
Yeah, because that's still going on.
Which I mean, guess there has about, been progress for the record, yeah. But
this is about the actual controversy, like first coming out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's like it's a little bit soon.
Yeah.
It's like if you started making World War II movies halfway through the World War II.
They already were making World War II movies during World War II.
Yeah.
It's called propaganda.
Yeah. But,
oh, my God.
Yeah. So, anyway, our favorite person in the whole world, Lin-Manuel Miranda. He is executive producing the Showtime version of Patrick Rothfuss's The King Killer Chronicles.
Squeed!
Yeah, he squeed.
I did just do that.
Yeah, you just did that. And the cool thing is, if anybody who's read The King Killer Chronicles will already know this, Patrick Rothfuss apparently doesn't play any instrument, but you wouldn't know it because the way he describes music in those books is so amazing.
Mm.
And, like, that's Miranda himself has openly said that's what attracted him to the series.
Yeah.
Is because, yeah, it's kind of cool.
I expect to see some hardcore lute shredding during this series at some point. So, yeah.
And if Miranda is involved, you know he's going to get into the soundtrack at some point. So
yeah, he's composing music for the series. John Rogers of The Leverage and The Player is the showrunner.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else is in here? Robert Lawrence of Clueless and Die Hard with a Vengeance. Jennifer Court from The Player is also executive producing, so along with Patrick Rothfuss is in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's got some pretty
now
good
hurry
talent.
Up and finish Volume 3, goddammit.
Yes, goddammit. So it's starting to turn into the whole George R. R. Martin thing now. It's like,
and this is only supposed to be a trilogy too.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, I'm pretty sure the Song of Ice and Fire was originally supposed to be a trilogy as well, but
yeah, but yeah, Rothfuss hasn't said that it wouldn't be a trilogy at any more points. So yeah,
yeah, but I mean, Rothfuss has been pretty busy. You know, because on top of this, he worked on Tides of Numenera. He's got that storybook series that he writes. You know, he's got a lot of projects in the works that unfortunately is taking time away from writing the goddamn third volume. So,
yeah. Now, I'm wondering if anybody else here has read this series.
I have.
Brandon has. But Teresa, Pat, Chris?
No.
Okay, we can't be friends anymore. Seriously, if you don't read The Name of the Wind, you're not a good person.
Well, but
and it's really hard to try and describe to people the sort of concept of The Name of the Wind because it sounds kind of cliche.
It sounds like the Song of Ice and Fire, all that stuff.
No, it's basically, I've heard people like the first volume, they've called it like the adult Harry Potter, which isn't really a good description of it.
No, it's not quite accurate or, well, even kind to the series, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, there's school elements in there, but yeah, it's a lot more serious. Things are a lot more fleshed out, but the undertone of the story is much, much more serious.
And occasionally really funny, too.
Yeah.
There are some pretty goddamn laugh-out-loud hilarious moments in that first volume.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what makes that book so good is it's rare that I talk about a book that keeps you guessing every other page, but The Name of the Wind literally keeps you guessing every other page. Because it goes in directions you don't expect it to go.
Yeah.
It is genuinely that good.
Yeah. So
I guess this will be a prequel of sort. It says the television adaptation is a subversive origin story set a generation before the events of the trilogy's first novel.
Ooh. Well, if Frothfuss is involved, then I can probably give it
a shot.
Give it a shot, but
do it for Lin.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure Lin-Manuel Miranda wouldn't put his name on something that wasn't going to be really good. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm still excited.
All right. Well, next up, the director, this is pretty much the rest of this is our entertainment block.
Yeah.
The director of The Raid will potentially helm the new movie for DC, which is going to be Deathstroke, the Terminator.
Yeah, and they're lining up Joe Manganiello as Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Which he was going to be the antagonist on the solo Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Affleck was still directing that.
Hmm.
Yeah, so if you ever wanted to know the origin story of Deadpool.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yep.
Deathstroke is basically like this sort of aging contract killer. He's like the evil Batman, basically.
Yeah.
Like he's literally like if you put him and Batman side by side, the similarities are pretty astounding.
Yeah.
Deathstroke is a really rich dude with like a butler and everything, and his own secret base, and he's got all his gadgets and his own special suit. The only difference is that you know he's a contract killer.
Yeah.
He's a hitman. And
kind of like the opposite of Batman.
I'm not going to call him the Bizarro Batman because there already is a Bizarro Batman.
Yeah, that happened.
But he's Batman's antithesis, basically. Mm-hmm. I really hope this comes out good because Deathstroke is a pretty cool character. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if this is going to like bring them into finally doing the Teen Titans. As in the DC cinematic universe, because if you're talking about Deathstroke, there's no way you can't talk about the Teen Titans, because I mean that's basically where he sort of, I'm pretty sure he was around. I can't remember. Did he debut in the Teen Titans or not?
I wouldn't know. That was way long ago.
Yeah. Well. Anyway,
yeah, it says he first appeared in the new Teen Titans number 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's in. Yeah, so like him and Teen Titans are inexplicably bound. There is no way you can talk about one without the other. Hell, his granddaughter ultimately ends up being a member of the Teen Titans for a little while.
Hmm.
But
I know they got a Titans show starting next year.
Yeah,
they've been like slowly trickling out the cast for that.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, they have to. But so other than that, we now know that there's going to be okay. So who saw that movie Logan?
I did.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yep.
It was a damn good movie, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, the team that did Logan is now doing preliminary work on a spinoff for X-23. Only Hugh Jackman isn't going to be involved.
Hell yeah.
She's X-23 a pretty badass
awesome.
Character. Yeah. X-23 is basically the female Logan. She is the young teenage version of Wolverine.
Yeah. And
without his scruples.
Yeah.
Yes, Logan does actually have scruples, believe it or not. Whereas whereas Logan has like a point where he knows where to stop, X-23 will just rip you to shreds and then just keep going from there.
Yeah.
She will not stop until you're nothing but the space between atoms.
Yeah. And Logan was actually the first, I think it was the first R-rated X-Men movie, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, for good reason.
Well, with X-23 is involved, it has to be.
Yeah.
She eventually ended up being a member of X-Force,
mm-hmm.
and damn, she's an awesome character. Yeah. But in more Marvel news, we just got a trailer for Marvel's Runaway, which is going to be coming out November 21st on Hulu. Runaways are a really awesome team of young teenage heroes. I don't want to call them sort of like Marvel's version of the Teen Titans because, well, originally the X-Men were
that.
Yeah, because that's kind of where the new Teen Titans were. They were basically meant to be the sort of their similar premise. The Runaways are just a cool group because of just the bunch of different characters they had. They had a Skrull on there. They had a dude who could turn into a T-Rex. They had one of the first one of their openly gay couples in Runaways. I mean, not the first. I'm sure there was another. There was North Star, whoever he was with, but it was between Wiccan and I think it was Hulkling. It was Brian K. Vaughan's. This is what he was writing before he started doing Why the Last Man and Saga.
Yeah.
So damn it, this better be good. Cause they got some big shoes to fill.
And there's a dinosaur in the trailer, which is really interesting. So hey, what if you thought about like a kind of teen drama superhero thing and then throwing a fucking dinosaur?
Yeah.
Why the hell not? Yeah. Hulu has actually been doing some pretty good stuff lately, so not really too surprised.
Yeah. And all right. And next up, Kristen Bell is claiming that a new Veronica Mars miniseries is going to happen at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess this happened during an interview who is it here? Ryan Hansen, one of her co-stars, just called her in the middle of a Facebook Live conversation with IndieWire, talking about a potential reunion for the series. And they just happened to put her on speakerphone. She said, "We are willing to put the effort in. I mean, if I have to do it as Murder, She Wrote at 80, we're going to do it. It's going to happen."
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like everybody involved really wants to do it. It's just a matter of finding time.
Yeah.
And Kristen Bell has a show currently going on called, The Good Place for NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "You can't do two television shows at the same time, so we'd have to do like a miniseries." And they say that they're probably not going to go the crowdfunding route again.
Rob and I
email about it every couple of months or so, and personally I think Rob probably agrees, is that A, we'll probably never make fans pay for it again, and B, the format works better as an episodic series.
Which was one of the bigger complaints about that Veronica Mars movie.
Still
not enough of it.
I did have some great moments.
Yeah.
Especially some good stuff for gift making when she pulls out the middle finger lipstick thing.
All right. And finally, our ultimate story of the night.
I'm not sure why Michael we ended on this one.
Michael Bay's company, famous for its explosions and full-on, full-throated filleting of the U.S. military, is producing a live-action movie adaptation of Dora the Explorer.
Yep.
That sigh just says it all.
God damn it. I thought I got away from that bullshit.
The writer-director is Nick Stroller, who worked on The Muppets and Neighbors. Let's see.
They had
tried to work on this a few times in the past. 2015, they were developing a movie with Tom Wheeler of Puss in Boots fame. She's not going to be a 7-year-old. She's going to be a teenager who moves to the city to live with her cousin Diego.
Fucking Diego. I'm going to hit him with his goddamn backpack.
And I guess they're looking for a 2019 release if this actually keeps going. with production.
See, you say the writer's name, but when you're working with the Muppets and what was the other one?
Neighbors.
No, no, the other thing that he worked on too.
Those were the two.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they had some fucking personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dora is just a fucking plain cardboard box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to work with.
The only thing Dora really is a medium between the show and the viewer. That's basically all she is.
Yeah. And the surprised to see that this show went on for 15 years. 172 episodes.
I'm not, because fucking parents shelled out all sorts of money for all the bullshit merchandising. And let's be fair, I didn't buy any of that shit. Fuck that shit. Fuck that show. Fuck those characters. Fuck it all. Sorry. PTSD, I think.
Wow, so. You lost your goddamn mind there for a
second. Which I'm wondering how they're going to have to do the monkey. As well as the fox swiper.
Swiper, yeah. Mm.
Was it swiper, no swipe, whatever they said?
Swiper, no swiping. Swiper, no swipe. You have to say it like three times.
CG.
Let's indoctrinate the children.
Mm. Yeah. They say everything three times because kids that young shouldn't be fucking watching TV.
Especially not something as mindless as this.
Yeah.
Ah, God.
Yeah, just watch Phineas and Ferb. Give your kids that. That's
these, yes. Or, you know, maybe Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
Oh, bring back Blue's Clues.
Oh, Blue's Clues was great. Wait, no. There was the whole thing with the yeah, no. Can't go there.
Yeah. Anyways. But
I'm not catching on here.
Well, what's his name left, and then the other guy took over.
Oh, right.
And it kind of changed dramatically. And yeah.
It did. It was like when the Wiggles had, the Red Wiggle had to retire due to health reasons, and they brought in Sam Moran, the Yellow Wiggle. And then the Red Wiggle got all better, like, you know, 20 years later, and they fucking fired Sam. And then the other two original ones got really sick, and now there's only Anthony left, and now they have a whole bunch of new Wiggles, and it's all just...
I'm sorry, the term Red Wiggle just is amazing.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I kind of had a mommy crush on the Yellow Wiggle, so that's all right, too.
You know, I heard a comedian did a routine about that. Apparently, they used to let families go and meet, you know, the Wiggles backstage. Mm-hmm. After concert, and they had to stop doing that because a bunch of mamas were trying to fuck the Wiggles.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like how...
There were Wiggle hoes out there, and it just wasn't a good scene, man. So, I would like to remind our listeners once again, as I said at the top, if you would like to write into our show, have a question to ask, have something you want us to read on the air, or, hell, I don't know, just something you want to tell us, because apparently you like listening to four slowly over-the-hill gamers chatting about random shit, write into us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got the link very conveniently at our show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can hear our little show at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and basically any place where fine recorded bullshit can be listened to. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. And for Felipe Nanolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logan, and Teresa Sammons, I'd like to say goodnight. I'm going to go back to killing Nazis.